Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Susan Heim. She is the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Inspiration for Writers. The book contains 101 stories from people who have successfully chased their dreams of writing, documenting their setbacks and successes, and sharing their tips for finding inspiration. Susan will be sharing stories from the book to help inspire you. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Johnny. Thank you for having me back.
Fantastic. It's great to have you on the air with me. I'm very excited. Chicken Soup for the Soul, Inspiration for Writing is a wonderful book, and the stories definitely speak from the heart, and the experiences shared were very enlightening, actually. Congratulations.
Thank you. I agree. It's a wonderful book. I love all of the stories that we received for this particular volume.
It just came out this month, correct?
Yes. It just came out in mid-May, so it's available.
Fantastic. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. I know you've been on the show before, and for some of the new listeners that we have, please give us a quick walkthrough of your life and how you ended up with Chicken Soup.
Okay. I was born and raised in Michigan, and I graduated from Michigan State University with a business degree, and hightailed it out of the cold weather in Michigan to head to Florida soon after that. And I've lived in Florida ever since, and the original publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul just happens to be located in Florida. And so I made the acquaintance of a woman who was working for them, and she hired me to do some freelance editing for them. And after a couple of years, a full-time position opened up with that publisher, and I applied and was fortunate to get the job. And I've been working for Chicken Soup for the Soul ever since. Several years ago, they acquired a new publisher, and fortunately, I was able to continue working with them. And I work as a freelance editor again, and I have four children, so that makes it easy for me. I get to work on Chicken Soup for the Soul and raise my kids at the same time. So it's a great situation, and I just love working on the Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Sometimes things just fall into place the way it should, so congratulations to you for that. It's a wonderful story. That's wonderful. Why did Chicken Soup decide to put together a book about writing?
Well, ever since we've been in existence, since our first book was published in 1993, Chicken Soup for the Soul has always had a reputation for publishing not only established authors, but also beginning writers, you know, people who have never been published before. So, you know, we've always been happy to sort of give many writers their start in the business, and for some people, a story in Chicken Soup for the Soul is their first publishing credit. And so now that we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year, we're doing a lot to celebrate, but one of the things that we thought was appropriate was to publish a book just with their stories and their writing journey and with advice to help people who are starting out and wondering how to get published or how to get a story in Chicken Soup, or people who just need encouragement, because writing can be a very lonely life and can be filled with rejection. So we wanted to encourage the people who have been submitting to Chicken Soup over the years, and or even those who have just thought about it and maybe have been a little too nervous to do so, and do a book just for them, just for writers.
That's fantastic. I know one thing for sure, the book covers so many different aspects of writing. And to be honest with you, I mean, what we're going to be talking about today is just barely skimming through some of the things that I felt like we need to address. But in all honesty, to really get the full pledge, the full effect of the book, you really need to get one, because it really covers just about everything you can conceive of. It's sort of a different stroke for different folks, so to speak, in the course of writing. So no question about that. How can writers use this book as a guide?
Well, as you mentioned, I think just about every story in the book will probably have some sort of advice that any writer, you know, can relate to. But at the same time, we also do have it divided into chapters, which can really give you some guidance on maybe where to start reading the book. For instance, we have a chapter on facing rejection. You know, maybe if you are feeling down that you've gotten way too many rejection letters or something, you might want to start with that chapter. Or maybe you've been thinking about joining a writer's group. You know, we have stories about people who have joined writer's group and found advice from the new friends that they've made, or perhaps from a particular mentor in their life. You know, maybe you have the problem, like I often do, raising children, that you don't have time to write. You know, when am I going to find time to write? I have so many other competing things in my life. And so we have a chapter on making time to write, and several writers offer advice on how they manage to squeeze writing into their time. So it's really, you know, you can do it either way, either read it cover to cover or go to a particular chapter and start there with whatever happens to be on your mind at the moment as you sit down and write.
You're right. What are your favorite parts about putting this collection together?
I think I love this book so much just because being a writer myself, it's I could relate to just about every story in this book, you know. We do Chicken Soup for the Soul books on a lot of topics, you know. Like, for instance, my last book was for brides, Here Comes the Bride. And I love the stories in that book, but at the same time, I haven't been a bride for a while, you know. So it was was a little bit, you know, I had to re-put myself back in those shoes. But reading this particular book and the stories in Inspiration for Writers, it was just every story I read was like, wow, yeah, you know, I've been through that. I've been through rejection. I've been through finding time to write. I've been moved by a story that or something that I've read, you know. It was just very, I felt like it was a very personal book, you know, like every story really was reaching out to me and really helping me and inspiring me in my life. And hopefully it will do the same thing for other writers as well.
Very true, though, because it's easy to be by yourself and being afraid. And then, of course, situations allow you to share your experiences with others. And then you have some wonderful friends that are just wonderful coaches and or close support in this case, just to kind of give you the boost that you need.
Right, right. And I think writing, too, is kind of a lonely profession, as I said before. You know, you tend to sit in your room or your home office, you know, by yourself writing. And I think it's really important to talk to people, you know, mentor with people who have also been writing and, you know, reading books like this where you can really understand that you're not the only one going through the frustrations or the joys or the challenges of writing and trying to get published.
Very true. Were there challenges in putting the book together?
Well, the biggest challenge that I had, which probably isn't really a bad thing to have, was that I had so many good stories to choose from for this particular volume. You know, as you can imagine, many of the people who wrote in and sent us stories have been writing for many years, and so they've studied writing. They're very good writers, and so, you know, a lot of the story we had to cut the stories that we received, several thousand stories, down to just 101, you know, which is our typical length for a book.
Yeah.
So that was the
hardest
part for me, having to say no to some stories that I just loved and having to cut it down to that 101. It's, you know, it's a good problem to have, but at the same time, it makes it tough to put together. So,
well, the good news is that the 101 individuals that are listed in the book, they definitely have so much wonderful things to talk about. And so as a reader, you are getting the best, the essence of what actually happens in a writer's life, the good, bad, and ugly in some ways.
That's correct.
The book has an impressive list of contributors. Who are some of the exciting contributors in the book?
Well, we do have, besides people who are just starting out, we do have several things from best-selling authors. One of those is a New York Times best-selling author, J.A. Jantz. She's written 45 mystery novels, And her story, this particular story, is actually about her new book that's coming out in September. It's called Second Watch. And she tells us how she actually got the idea for that story, for that particular novel, and how it, even though it is a novel, you know, it's not a true story, but she actually got inspiration from a boy that she went to high school with, who she found out later was killed in Vietnam. So it turned out to be a very personal book for her, and it's just fascinating to see how she turned a personal experience into an actual novel. We also have a story in there from Sarah Derer Littman, who is a political columnist and a young adult novelist. And I loved her topic because it's something you don't read about very often. She talks about how her first book that she had published, it's called Confessions of a Closet Catholic, actually came very easily for her. You know, she was very fortunate that she, you know, got published fairly quickly. And then she assumed, well, once I'm published, you know, the second book will be a breeze. Everybody's going to want my second book. Well, it turns out they didn't. She had what she called the, quote, second book blues, and she had a really tough time getting her second book published. And so that's what that particular story is about. It's very interesting. We also have a story in there by a novelist, Hank Philippi Ryan, and she has written six novels. Won 28 Emmys for her. She's a reporter for Boston's NBC affiliate. And she writes about the importance of mentorship, about how she had mentored somebody in the TV world when she was working as a journalist and was a mentor to a particular person there. And then years later, that person came back and became her mentor when she decided to write a book because that person had gotten had been published. So the result of this particular mentoring relationship was she won the Agatha Award for the best first mystery for her first book. So that's a very inspirational story as well. And we also have a brief introduction from Brad Meltzer, who is a number one New York Times bestselling author, and his newest book is called The Fifth Assassin. So we were very honored to have that as well.
Fantastic. That's really fabulous stories that, again, as I mentioned before, there's so many people in the book that can really inspire people, and we just don't have enough time in a whole hour to talk about these wonderful people, and that's a shame. But it's definitely a wonderful read, for sure. Is there a common theme that runs through all the stories?
Definitely. Well, there are several, of course, which we'll be talking about. But I think that one of the main things that I got out of reading these stories was that, you know, even though writing is not an easy life, you know, especially if your quest is to get published, it's difficult. But, you know, I think basically they're telling you if this is your dream, you really need to follow it. You know, don't listen to the naysayers who will say, you know, this is too tough, you'll never get published, you know, that kind of thing. You really just need to keep going. And this is every single story in this book is about, you know, a person who just kept going despite all the obstacles they faced and, you know, finally met some success or are on their way to achieving their goals.
Very true. I have selected stories from the various sections as points for our discussion this morning. Please give us a short rundown of each of these authors and their stories. I'm focusing on things that are not necessarily completely everything in the book, but I felt like these are stories that will really touch someone from so many different perspectives, from helps from friends, from writing about your own self-healing process that you go through in life, and your own personal fears of rejection, and then, of course, the ultimate challenge is that fear of writing itself, the constant battle of me versus moi, so to speak. And so these are the things that I think that is important, but I'm sure, you know, as we talk, we're going to be addressing some of these issues as well. But let's start off with A Little Help from My Friends, and that's the section, A Little Help from My Friends. The title of the story is Secrets to Success by Emily Park Chase.
Yes, this particular story is written by a woman who joined a writer's critique group, and she says that every person in the group was very different. You know, some of them were writing poetry, some of them were writing children's books, some of them were writing scripts And they were, some of them were older, some were younger. You know, basically they really seemed to have nothing in common. But she said that once they got started and really started, you know, critiquing each other's work and reading each other, they found that their differences were really their strengths. You know, each of them were able to bring a different perspective to what they were reading, you know, from their own personal experiences. And because of this, because of the feedback they received from each other, you know, they all began to see a lot of success from their work. And one of the things she pointed out in the story was that only writers can really understand what other writers are going through, you know, when when they're trying to get published. She said when she got her first book published, her husband was kind of, who's a non-writer, was kind of like, oh, that's great, honey, when's dinner ready? You know, he wasn't overly excited about her publication, but the people in her writer's group understood, you know, how momentous an occasion this was for her, her first book, you know, and they threw her a big party and, you know, had a big celebration. So it was, you know, she really felt like this was, you know, this group really meant a lot to her, obviously, in her writing journey.
And that's important because you do need that momentum, that support, that cheerleading, so to speak, the rah-rah-rah behind you, because there are going to be times where you're going to have second thoughts.
Exactly, yes. And you need somebody to keep giving you that push, encouraging you, saying, you can do this, you can do this, you know.
The next one is very interesting as well. This is, I think, every one of us will use this as an excuse not to write. It's a wonderful chapter. It's called Making Time to Write. The title of this story is The Magic Wand by Harriet Cooper. I want you to address it, and I'll kind of put my two cents in afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, this story is written by a teacher. And so she has summers off, and so she figured, you know, this it's going to be a great time. I'm going to write my great American novel during the summer when I'm off from teaching. And I think like most of us, you know, real life got in the way. Either, you know, the house needed painting or it was too hot to write or something like that. She always had some sort of excuse where she never really got her novel done. She made some progress, but, you know, it always ended up getting put aside. And she had a friend named Kath who was always kind of checking in with her, asking her how she was doing, when you're going to get that novel written, you know, my daughter's waiting for your novel, because she was writing a book that was sort of a Harry Potter kind of thing, you know, a fantasy novel. And so when the Harry Potter exhibit came to town, her friend convinced her to go to the exhibit, and they bought her a magic wand. You know, like in the movie, you get to pick out a wand that's specially for you. And she thought, this is your special magic wand, and this is going to motivate you to write, you know, to find time to write. So it did work for a while, and then real life got in the way again, and she put it aside. But now the writer is finally retired from teaching, and she has pulled out her magic wand again. And she says she's ready to start writing, and this time she's not going to let anything stop her. You know, she's going to use her magic wand and get that book done. So it's, you know, it's never too late. No matter how much you stall or procrastinate, it's, you know, there's still hope in getting your book done, and having a magic wand doesn't hurt.
Well, it's true. It's no time is the right time, and any time is the right time when everything points correctly, the way it's supposed to be. And of course, she's someone that writes about family life and everyday living. A lot of times, sometimes too, that we don't realize it is that we put certain restrictions in our life. We want to write about certain things. Just start writing. I mean, write things that you know, and that gets you going, so to speak, get the momentum going.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, we always think there's going to be a, quote, right time, you know, when I'm as you said, when I'm on vacation, or when I'm done raising my kids, or when I, you know, move here or do this or that, you know, and it's really, you know, sometimes there's never going to be a perfect time to write. You just need to make the decision that now is the time, and I'm gonna do it now, no matter what, and make the time to do it.
The next section is called The Healing Powers of Words, and this is pretty powerful because this is up for people that sometimes. Well, let me put it this way. Words, we know they are pretty powerful from a reading perspective, and now it's from a writing perspective. So this is a wonderful story. titled The Small Miracle by Carissa Burrows.
That's right. This is a woman who, as you said, it's a very moving story. This is about a woman who pretty much has made a mess out of her life. She's severely overweight. She is facing spinal surgery. She's a heavy smoker. And by her own admission, she is pretty much a mean and nasty person. And so she lets her friends, or, you know, the few people left who are who haven't turned away from her, convince her that she really needs to get some therapy. And so she's, against her better judgment, she does go into a therapist, and she doesn't want to talk. She doesn't trust the therapist, doesn't want to say anything. And so the therapist says, you know, well, if you won't talk to me, you know, write it down. You know, write something down so we have something to talk about. And so the woman goes home, doesn't write a thing, goes back to the next meeting with her therapist, and the therapist says, okay, last chance, why don't you start with I feel, and that's it. And so she put those words down on the paper, and she started to write what I feel, and she couldn't stop. She just wrote pages and pages and pages and pages, and what she came to realize was that all of her words were expressing the pain that she was feeling, you know, the both the physical pain she was going through, but as well as the emotional pain that she was feeling. And this was like writing this down was really a life-changing event for her. It really got her through finally putting down the walls, you know, that she had put up, and really breaking through to figure out why she was such a difficult person and why she was projecting her pain onto other people. And subsequently, she ended up losing more than 100 pounds, eating more healthy. She quit smoking, and now she writes for a living. And, you know, it all started because she started to write her feelings, you know, to write about her life.
Very powerful expression in terms of getting your thoughts on paper. It's a very classic example for that. The next section is reflection on rejection. And this is, of course, everyone's nightmare. It's done beautifully. I think this author that wrote this, Writer's Vow by James McGruder.
Yes. This author is somebody who's actually asking the question, is there ever a time when you really should give up? You know, people always say, well, just keep trying, try again, you know. And this man had basically gone through 3 years of writing his novel. He'd had it edited, re-edited. It was rejected by 35 agents. You know, it was just constant rejection, you know, one after another. And so, you know, he did get some advice from some of the agents, which was encouraging. They had sent him some suggestions on what he should do. But, you know, he got to the point where he said, now, do I keep going, like everybody says, or do I quit at this point? And he was reminded right around this time he celebrated his wedding anniversary, and he was reminded of the vow that he took when he got married, that no matter what the obstacles you face, you're going to stick with your marriage and keep at it. And so he decided that he was going to basically make a writer's vow with himself, you know, no matter what obstacles he faced, he was going to write through the rejection and just keep going. And he meant that really in a broader sense, in that he was just going to keep writing, not necessarily keeping that particular book. And he did decide to take the advice of one of the editors that had talked to him and said that sometimes your first novel is really your learning to write novel. You know, it's not necessarily meant for publication. It's where you really learn your craft. You know, you really learn how to write. And so he has decided to put aside his first novel for now and get started on a second novel, and that's where he's at right now. But he doesn't regret writing that first novel because it really taught him a lot of valuable lessons about writing and just to keep going, and that sometimes you do have to give up and go on to the next thing.
Of course, the challenge is he is an executive speechwriter and award-winning copywriter as well. So when you look at all that credentials, sometimes our ego gets in the way.
Right. You think that what you've written is, you know, a great thing, and you don't want to give it up. You know, you don't You don't want to put away and admit that maybe it's not your best work, or maybe it's just not meant for publication right now.
Right. And it's different sets of writings. They always say the way you write a book is totally different when you're in front of people on a stage and start talking. It's two different styles.
That's
and then
true.
One,
that's true.
Yeah, one doesn't necessarily mix with the other one, and it's all about content, no question about it, but the styling is different.
Right, right. So he had a big learning curve there from trying to write a novel from the type of writing that he was doing previously.
Right. The next one is writing changes lives. I'm looking at lessons learned in writing my first novel, which is sort of tied in with James's deal, by Sebastian Cole. And, of course, he's a romantic writer, so which is kind of interesting, so I'll let you address that.
Oh, well, this is also a man who found out that writing a novel is not as easy as he thought it would be. You know, he knew he had a great story, but actually getting his story down and getting it out into the world was a little more challenging than he had found, you know, than he had anticipated. And he found that, you know, when you actually write the word the end, and the words the end at the end of your novel, it's really just the beginning. You know, you got the story down, but he found out, you know, he had to get the story critiqued, he had to write it, he had to re-edit it, he had to send it out to literary agents who rejected him, you know, multiple times. And he's been working at this now for 2 years, and finally he decided to self-publish and publish his own work, and the book has been well-reviewed. He's gotten some great reviews, and he won an award for first-time authors for the book. But still, and I like that the story is very realistic, it's, you know, he admits he's not making a fortune from his book. It's, you know, people like it. But he's not, you know, getting rich by it by any means. But one of the things that does keep him going is that some of the wonderful feedback that he's gotten from people, the reactions and the way that his book has really impacted people and changed their lives. And he said, you know, he's realizing that that is the real reward of writing, the impact that he can have on other people with what he has to say.
That's important, because a lot of times when we feel like when we're not accepted by, quote-unquote, the people that should have accepted us, that doesn't mean that the content of what you're writing is not going to touch someone else's lives. And
that's
in this
right.
case, it did.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though, you know, it may not be accepted by a major publisher or something, it doesn't mean that it's not a good piece of writing or won't have a very powerful impact on somebody who reads it. So it just has to find the right audience and you know, the right way to get out there into the world.
What's interesting also, just because you can't get through a so-called gatekeeper, the ultimate testament to your writing are the people that are giving you feedback, because they are the final audience.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The next thing in writing changes lives is Change My Faith by Alicia S. This is a very interesting story about her. I'll let you tell it, because it's just a wonderful story.
Oh, yes. This is written by a young woman who you would think would not have a lot going for her. She dropped out of high school. She ended up being a mother of two children and married at the age of 19. And so basically she had a lot of people telling her that, you know, she wasn't going to amount to anything. What can you do with no high school diploma and raising young children and being so young? And so this is the story of her basically setting out to prove people wrong. You know, she was very, she loved writing, and she went back and read a lot of the poems and the things that she had written in high school and thought, you know, maybe I can make a living out of this. And she submitted a poem online, and they accepted it and published it, and that gave her some encouragement. And so she just decided she was not going to let people defeat her and tell her that she couldn't do it. She was going to keep going. And now she is a successful writer. She's authored a book and formed a media company with a woman that she met online who happened to like her writing. And, you know, she's very proud that she has overcome her challenging circumstances to become you know, to contribute to her family's income and to become a successful writer and actually make a living at it.
Very true. And her story is very exciting because there are a lot of people out there that are good in specific things. And in her case, of course, she's an SEO marketing expert. I've met a lot of people that say they are SEO marketing experts. And a lot of these people are self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
They teach themselves
mm-hmm.
how to do that. That in itself gives them the ideas of how to market themselves. What's good about her in this sense is that she's able to use her skills and market herself from a book concept. The reason why I chose her story is because I want people to listen out there that because you're thinking that, you know, well, I don't have the right story to write. I don't have this. I don't have that. But in all actuality, we all have a story. We just got to figure out which one that we can really sit down and tell the story about ourselves. And in this case, she actually took the time and write a wonderful book on SEO and marketing and so forth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Like you said, you just have to, you know, you can teach yourself. You don't have to have the MFA or the fancy degree.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do, and that's wonderful. But she managed to teach herself and learn from her experience, and she studied grammar and writing and marketing and was able to accomplish quite a bit just by learning herself and learning from others as well. So
wonderful. The next section is called Take My Advice. And the story is Going Where You Look by Laurie Carpenter.
Yes, and this particular story, she goes back to some advice that she learned when she was actually taking her driver's ed course in high school. And in that particular course, they told her, you go in the direction where you look, you know. And she realized that that is applicable not only to driving but also to writing. And the
mm-hmm.
way she figured that out was she and her mother are both actually writers and had been writing separately and sharing their, you know, their advice with each other and successes, but neither of them had actually managed to get published. So they decided to get together and write a book together to see how they would do. So they weren't sure what to write about, and they said, well, why don't we write a romance novel? You know, everybody loves a romance novel. They sell,
mm-hmm.
they're popular, you know, we want to get published, so let's write a romance novel. And so they did. They got together and they had a lot of fun. They came up with a story and wrote a romance novel, sent it out, and it was rejected over and over and over again. So they set it aside. They wrote another book. Again, they got rejected over and over again. So they decided to attend a romance writers convention, hoping to get some advice and some tips on getting published in the romance world. And what they discovered was really their heart wasn't in it. They were trying to get published for all the wrong reasons. You know, they decided to publish in romance because it was popular, but
mm-hmm.
in all actuality, it was not really what they were enthusiastic about. It really wasn't the story that was in their hearts. And so they decided to go back to the drawing board and just forget picking a topic, forget trying to categorize themselves, and just start writing a story together, something that really got them excited. And the result was a young adult novel that they ended up getting published and doing very well with because, you know, they finally listened to their instincts instead of
mm-hmm.
Trying to just write to be successful. So
very
I think
true.
That's a great message. Yeah.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And of course, working with your mom. It's a mom-daughter combination. I thought that was something very interesting. It's one of those things where if you expand your thought process and you look all around you, and sometimes it takes a team to get it right.
That's true. That's true. And they figured it out together, you know, and had success, and I think that's great.
Now we're coming to the very exciting section. And I know in the book is actually the very first section, but I put this last because I think this is the greatest challenge that we all face. That is facing my fears. And the first story is Celine and Me, and it's written by Jana Dretzer.
Yes, this is definitely a very powerful chapter on facing your fears. of writing. And in this particular story, this woman has a lot to fear because the Celine in her title refers to the recording artist Celine Dion, who everyone knows is very successful. And this particular woman had written just a few magazine articles and some children's educational books when she was surprisingly offered the opportunity to write an authorized biography of Celine Dion. Now, this wouldn't have been so bad, but this particular woman happened to be, which she didn't share with the publisher, she happened to be a recovering agoraphobic, and she was terrified to fly. So she had not only the fear of flying, but also the fear of interviewing a celebrity, because she had a friend tell her, you know, all those celebrities, they'll treat you like dirt, you know, you're going to have a really hard time with this. And so she managed to, fortunately, white-knuckle her way to Las Vegas on the airplane to at least control her fear of flying and get out there and talk to Celine Dion. And when she got there, she discovered that Celine Dion was not the diva at all. She said she was the most wonderful, warm, loving person. You know, they became great friends. She shared her stories with her. She was just wonderful. You know, they met each other's families, and it was a great experience. And so she really discovered that by overcoming her fears, she had this beautiful experience that she never would have had, you know, if she had let her fears get a hold of her and decided she couldn't get on that plane to go out and interview Celine Dion.
That's just a wonderful story. And Jana, by the way, is a ghostwriter, and she has written over 20 books, and that's quite interesting because that's, in some ways, it's a fear in itself, because you're writing for someone else. God forbid if you screw it up.
That's right.
Yeah, at least if you write on your own and you can say, well, hey, guys, this is my story, okay? Like it or not, it's me. When you write about someone else, that's a little bit difficult.
Right. The pressure's on to really get it right, and particularly with a celebrity of the caliber of Celine Dion, you know, you really want to do a good job and make her look good. And so that's, but she did it.
Right. The next one is, again, in Facing My Fears, is a story titled Seeing My Way to Success by Janet Perez Eccles.
Yes. The title is called Seeing My Way to Success because the author is actually blind. And so that is something that obviously would be an obstacle in many fields, but particularly in writing. And she, you know, when the author went blind, she didn't think that she would be able to become a successful writer. But fortunately, she had a very supportive husband, and she also discovered a computer program that actually reads the letters on the keyboard aloud. And she was able to begin writing books and articles about her experience. Again, this is somebody who has written about her own personal experience as a blind writer and was able to inspire other people. And she attended a writer's conference and was able to get an agent, and her book was published, and it became a number one bestseller in Amazon in its category. So this is just a very inspirational story because, you know, if this woman can overcome a serious obstacle like not being able to see to become an author, then you know, the door's open for just about anybody who, you know, has a particular obstacle in their life who thinks that, you know, they can't write because of it. If she can do it, you know, who knows? Anybody could do it.
It's very inspirational. I mean, no question about that. When you look at the obstacles that she has to go through, like you say, there's no excuse for any of us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. If she can do this, we can do this.
The final one that I chose is from yours truly, that's you, and the title is Poopy Pants and Butterflies. So tell us about that.
Okay, well, I wrote this story. It's a little more on the lighthearted side. But I wrote this story because I'm a natural introvert, and I think a lot of writers do tend to be introverts. I think we tend to be attracted to the profession of writing because it is something solitary that we can do on our own in a quiet atmosphere. And so, but what I discovered, of course, like many writers, is not only do you have to write your book, but you have to promote your book, and you have to get out there and you have to tell people about your book if you want them to actually read your book. And so one of the things that made me very nervous was when my I have 9-year-old twin boys, and when they were in second grade, one of their teachers called me and asked if I would come in and speak to the class about writing. So you wouldn't think that speaking in front of children would make people too nervous, but I was nervous, I have to admit it, especially after they called and said that they wanted me to speak to all 6 second grade classrooms and give 2 presentations. And I'd never written a children's book, so I was very nervous about it, and I decided to call my sister, who happens to be an elementary school teacher. And I said, you know, what do I say to these kids? How can I amuse a bunch of second graders, you know, and talk about writing? And she reminded me that I had actually written a book for children. It was when I was in second grade, and it was a book called The Girl Who Pooped Her Pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I had written this book in second grade. It was very popular. I have the library card with all the signatures on it. And so I decided to, I read, fortunately my mother had saved the book, and so I read the book to my twin boys, and they mm-hmm. really liked it, and so I decided this would be the perfect icebreaker for my presentation. And so, you know how second graders are, they love anything having to do with bodily functions and, you know, that type of thing. So I took that in along with some of the poems that I had written for my boys just for fun, and I did that as my presentation. And fortunately, it worked out well. I got through the presentation, and it was a hit, and it was a lot of fun to do. So I was really glad that I said yes and overcame my fear of speaking to the children at the school. So
that's fantastic, because some of us can't write very well, but we love to talk. We can talk ourselves out of all kinds of things. But that's good. I wanted to share that because, I mean, I've known you over the years, and it was quite interesting. Like you were saying, like, oh, my gosh, no, I want you to talk. I want you to come in front of people and start talking, to realize that, well, this is unique. Every one of us are very unique in our own ways, and obviously you have this awesome talent of writing. I mean, this is the first time I hear about the fact that you wrote at a very young age. And so that was very, very interesting. I think a lot of times we don't realize our innate talent. There's certain mm-hmm. gifts that we have, and certainly today we know what Susan's is.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it is something, and I think a lot of writers will tell you that it's always something mm-hmm. that they did their whole lives. You know, they always just sort of gravitated towards writing, but they didn't really recognize it as having a particular talent, or mm-hmm. it was just something they liked to do, you know, but mm-hmm. Sometimes writing, I think, just doesn't let go of you, you know. You just,
right.
It's something you feel that you have to do, for those of us who, you know, who are still doing it today. So,
fantastic. That's wonderful. Do you have any favorite stories from the book?
Oh, gosh. Too many, but I will give you the highlights of a couple more that we haven't talked about yet. One of the stories that I really related to was called Good Pasta by Mary Phillips. Mm-hmm. And the reason I love that story was because it was written by a mother and a wife who, as we talked about, always kind of put her writing last. She didn't make it a priority because she was so busy with her family and with the things that she had to do as a mother. And one day she was looking through an essay that her son had written for school, and he talked about how his father, he was so proud of his father because his father had this important job. He was a musician, and he worked for a baseball team and all this kind of stuff. And then when it came time to write about his mother, he wrote simply, "My mother makes good pasta." And the mother was kind of a little bit shocked because she thought, you know what, my son really doesn't know the real me. He knows that I can make his pasta, you know, and make his lunches and that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm also a writer, and that's a very important part of my life. And she decided that it's very important for her son to see his real mom, you know, the mom that his dad married, and the one that's not only a mother, you know, and a wife. And so that was sort of a turning point for her, where she decided that she was going to give her writing more priority and let her son see that was just as important to her as it was to raise a good family. So I like that story a lot. I think a lot of young mothers who are trying to write can really relate to that. Another story that I liked a lot was called A Scholar and a Gentleman by Gail McMillan. She relates how she, when she was 8 years old, she had a distant relative, they called him Uncle Johnny, who used to come to the house for dinner, and she always dreaded his visits. He was, in his day, when he was younger, he was a respected literary scholar, but by that point, when he was coming over to her house, he was 86 years old. He was, you know, not doing so well. He would, you know, drool and get food on himself, and basically, to an eight-year-old, you know, she didn't find him very interesting. And so when she found out that he was coming over for Christmas dinner, she was not too happy about that and let her parents know in no uncertain terms that she wasn't happy that Uncle Johnny was coming over. But when he did come over, he presented her with a gift, and it happened to be a copy of Emily of New Moon by L.M. Montgomery. She's the same author who did the Anne of Green Gables series. And she was actually very touched by his gift, because he told her, this is a story about a young woman, or about a young girl like you, who wants to be a writer when you grow up. And she, you know, for the first time, she actually saw Uncle Johnny with new eyes. And when he passed away a year later, she stood at his graveside with a copy of the book in her hand. And she's now an award-winning author of 27 published books, and she said that still that book that Uncle Johnny gave her is an inspiration to her. It really is a cherished part of her life, and led her down the road to becoming a published author. So I thought that was a great story.
Oh, yeah, those are wonderful stories. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. One more I was going to mention is a story called My Daughter Helped Me Become a Writer by Leticia Velasquez. And I like this story because she actually started out as a blogger. And I know a lot of people now write blogs, you know, and wonder if they're going anywhere. And this particular woman has a child with Down syndrome. And she was very inspired by a woman. You know, she was afraid when her daughter was born with special needs that it would be a difficult life for her and for her child. And she happened to talk to a woman who also had a special needs child, who really encouraged her and taught her what a joy, you know, her daughter was in her life. And so she wanted to pass along that same experience to other people with special needs children. And so she started a blog called Cause of Our Joy. And it took off. You know, people with Down syndrome children started reading her blog and commenting on the stories. And now she is a published author of many articles and books, and she's an advocate for parents and for families with special needs children. So this, again, is another story of someone who's really taken a personal experience and become very influential in the lives of a lot of other people just by, you know, taking that first step.
Very interesting. Those are all wonderful stories. Again, the book is filled with so many different experiences, true life experiences of people that have chased their dreams of writing and have overcome fear, rejections, and whatever it takes for them to do, they basically followed their a dream, so to speak. Have you ever struggled with a writer's block?
Of course. I mean, I think that almost every writer deals with writer's block at some point or another. But I think, at least from my personal experience, I have found that a lot of times it's just a matter of timing. You know, you sometimes you can't force the words to come. You know, you have to find the right moment or the right time when inspiration comes. You know, sometimes Inspiration comes in the shower, you know, as opposed to first thing in the morning or whatever. In fact, I even bought a notepad, which I keep in the bathroom, you know, so when suddenly an idea comes to me in the bathroom, I'll write it down, you know, and then I've got it for later so the idea doesn't disappear. So I think, you know, it happens to everybody, but I think, you know, you need to come up with your own way to overcome it, whether it's reading something that inspires you or just, you know, waiting a while and waiting for the inspiration to come back.
I know you have chased your dream of writing, of course, and you were very successful with it. How did you overcome that struggle about just pushing ahead in terms of chasing that dream of writing?
Well, I think a lot of it just comes from, you know, understand. I've been fortunate, actually, to be on the other side of the desk, you know, of being an editor as well and reading stories that have come in. And so I think that's really helped me to see that a lot of times rejection is not personal. You know, a lot of times an editor does have to reject a story because either, you know, they've gotten too many on a particular topic or they're not publishing a particular subject anymore, or, you know, it could be something as simple as, you know, the person in your story reminds them of their ex-husband or something. You know, you just never know, you know. But so I think that's really taught me that a rejection of your writing is not a rejection of you. You know, it's not. It doesn't mean you're a terrible writer. It doesn't mean what you've written is bad. It just means that is not the opportunity for you, that there's something else down the road, and you just have to keep going and try and find it. And I think that's what keeps me going, just knowing that, you know, there are a lot of possibilities out there and you just have to keep plugging away and finding them.
And the most important thing, like you say just now, is be able to compartmentalize it, because it is not an attack on you, but just maybe on the material that you're writing, and it might be a number of things. So it's how you take that. Don't take it personal. And it's very, very difficult. I know when my book came out, and this is the interesting part about book reviews, all this while I've been having 4 or 5 stars. I mean, who would hate From My Mama's Kitchen, you know? I mean, it's like a cuddly deal, right? And then
it's a wonderful book, yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, all of a sudden I got like a 2-star, a 1-star. And I start reading. What happened? I want to go over there and beat the guy up or whatever, you know. And I realized that the comments are senseless. It's like, oh, gee, I thought there was a cookbook. I can't understand the philosophy and all that. Didn't finish the book at all. So it's sort of like, dude, you're not even really reading the book and understanding it.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd rather you read the whole book and then, no, I don't like it. So
yeah, you have to take it with
difficult.
A grain of salt and consider the source, you know, where it comes from. And some people are, it's not their kind of book, you know. It's just, it's not going to be for everybody, you know. So you have to, like you said, develop a tough skin and really look at it in perspective. So.
And it's very, very, very tough.
It is.
What's your best piece of advice for writers out there?
Well, I think number one is what we just talked about: develop a thick skin, because you are going to get rejected and criticized, and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So get a thick skin. Number two, I think you need to study your craft and really learn. You know, go to conferences, take writing classes, read other writers, and study what they do. And finally, be persistent. You know, just as we've talked about, keep plugging away. Don't expect success overnight. Just keep going and keep making progress. You know, it's really the journey that is the reward, and hopefully, you know, the destination at the end of it. But all three of those things, I think, are very critical for any writer.
Fantastic. Where is the best place for someone to get information about the book and buy the book?
Really anywhere where books are sold: Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Chicken Soup for the Soul website is at www.chickensoup.com. And you can find the book just about anywhere that they sell Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Wonderful. How about finding information about you? Because I know you have some fantastic things that you write on your site about twins and so forth.
Oh, yes. I do have a website that you can go to. It's Susan Heim, HEIM.com, and that will show you the books that I have written, as well as a couple of blogs that I do. I write a parenting blog, and I also write a fairly new blog on writing, which I will hopefully give you some more tips on writing as we go along, and that's called Susan Heim on Writing.com. And I hope you'll join me over there.
Wonderful. By the way, we are coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Yes, I would. I'd love to tell everybody to just basically to follow your heart. And if writing is in your heart, I think you should do it. You know, when I was growing up, I was always told that, you know, writing was kind of a frivolous occupation and you should do something more practical. But, you know, I've always encouraged my kids to really follow your passion because it's something you'll be doing the rest of your life and you want to enjoy what you're doing. And so that's my recipe for living, to just follow your heart and do what you're passionate about, and it will work out.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. One final question for you. Where do you find the biggest writing inspiration?
Definitely with my family. You know, Chicken Soup for the Soul books are filled with personal experiences, and that's the kind of writing that I love to do. And so there's, you know, I encourage people, really, you don't have to have some big event in your life that you've been through, you know, some big disaster or tragedy or big moment. It's really the little things in life that inspire us, you know, the funny things that our kids say, or you know, the interactions that we have with the people around us. You'd be amazed at the wonderful stories that can come about just by writing about those everyday moments in our lives that have touched us.
Fantastic. That's very true, because if you pay attention, the stories are all around you. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very true.
Yes.
Susan, thank you for the great recipe for living that you have shared with us just now, and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Dr. Annie Kagan. Dr. Kagan will be sharing a true life account of her experience of communicating with her deceased brother, Billy, in her latest book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed week. Susan, thank you again, and have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.